Wonderful. Welcome, everybody. If you just heard it or if you did not, the recording has started. Either way, my name is Andy Marks here for our March 2024 LHON Live call, joined by my co-host Jess,
Hey y'all.
who is here as well. Thank you all so much for being here. I'll give you the same quick spiel we always give. I didn't hear too many brand new callers, but like to remind everyone the purpose of this call, the history of this call as much as we can as well. So just, I'll be very brief. Jess and I are the two hosts in kind of leading things tonight, although certainly not hopefully taking up too much airtime. Met back in June of 2014. So coming up on 10 years ago now, we met in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at what was the first LHON conference for either of us, although not the first one for anyone. And we quickly realized how beneficial it was to share stories and connect and give advice and do all of that with other folks who are part of this LHON community. We realize that a lot of us in our day-to-day lives have very unique experiences when compared to everyone that we interact with and our family and friends sometimes, but our stories are very shared and have a lot of connection with other folks who are part of this community, whether we live right next to each other or across the globe. So we wanted to find a way to tap into those benefits and be able to connect with folks more often than once a year at that conference. And so rather than flying once a month, we started these LHON live calls in August of 2014. And we've been doing them every month since then. They've taken on different formats, and we've had guest speakers, and we've talked about topics, and we've recorded and not recorded and done lots of different things. But we eventually landed on the format that we're doing these days. Again, always open to changing that. And you'll see some of that come inevitably in the future, no matter what. So we're constantly trying to keep up with things here. Last month, I brought in a number of topics that came from someone who reached out to us. You can always do that, reaching out to me, Andy Marks, or Jessica Loomer on Facebook or text or email or any different channel that would get that information over to us. We're happy to make these calls as pointed and helpful to you as possible. And that means making them on topics that you care most about. But tonight, while we didn't have much in terms of requests, we have a single topic we're bringing and we're going to go pretty broad with it. But before we get there, Jess, well, I guess I should give you the one, what do they say? Housekeeping note that I often give, which is that we are happy for this conversation to evolve as much as anyone would like it to. It can stay on the topic that we bring. It can be steered toward any number of other things. That said, if we land on a question that pertains to legal advice, employment advice, medical advice, sometimes those questions are better directed towards professionals. And if that ends up being the case, I'm happy to let you know that we can find someone else better for that type of advice than the folks on this call tonight, because we are not those professionals necessarily, although we are happy to be here for each other and help direct those questions where we can. With that, Jess, finally, how are you? Happy March. Happy birthday month, by the way. I'll say that because I don't think most folks here know that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, birthday month for sure. Super excited about that. Yeah, I feel like just celebrate all day. It's actually going to snow this weekend, so I'm pretty pumped about that. So, it's 55 degrees in Denver right now, but I'm welcoming this the 6 inches of snow we're supposed to get because I love a good snowstorm. So it'll be the perfect way to start the birthday weekend. But what about you? How are you?
I love that moving from Arizona to Colorado, you love a snowstorm. I feel like some folks, you have to go one way or the other, and I feel like embracing it is the way to go. I'm doing very, very well. This year has been a year of a lot of change, probably more professionally than I've had the past 7 years, and so that's a welcome challenge for me. But I'm pretty happy, and in general, kind of rolling with things as much as I can, and March is off to a decent start. I think we're kind of trying to gain our footing and do pretty well there. So I can't complain. The year's off to a good start.
That's so awesome. I have to like shamelessly plug. We had a really, speaking of employment and just like so much change, we had such a good employment call this past week, I think it was. The time flies when you're having fun. And it was just so great. So definitely extending the invite to come share the journey that you've been having for employment because I think it would be really great for our employment call that's happens quarterly. So I was like, perfect time for me to plug that. We didn't plan that, just saying.
I would be happy to. In fact, the things that we do plan, I think everyone can often tell that we plan them because they don't come off as naturally as that. So we should do less.
Sure. True,
I
true.
ask, since you're plugging that call, the appropriate thing to do is to ask you, like, maybe two to three major takeaways, maybe just one major thing that you learned on the most recent employment call that you want to share with everyone here. Because I think that's one thing we want to start doing more of, is bringing in folks who are leading those individual calls. For folks who don't know, we have a number of affinity calls. I'll call them affinity calls or regional calls. These are calls for folks who live in a particular region or have a particular focus area. They could be employment, like you named, assistive technology. There are calls for moms. There are calls for young adults. Any number of groups. I think it's over 20 types of different affinity calls or regional calls we have today. So I'd love to start tapping into those and bringing in pointers and tips and tricks that are isolated in those calls to this larger forum here too. So Jess, without you having had any time to prepare, what are some things you got either from the most recent employment call or from prior employment calls? Because I know you're there pretty often.
Oh, I'm totally going to deflect this answer. So what I would say is that, like, no matter what call I go to, I always gain something that I've learned, something new on every single call, and I've been affected for over 10 years. So that sounds bananas to say, but like literally every single call that I join, there's always something. Like, someone's got a tip or trick, there's something new that's out there. And so, yeah, I mean, specifically in the employment call, we were talking about assistive tech combinations between, like, what do people use to, like, do well and function and be successful in their job, which is always super interesting. But I feel like that question could change every year because software continues to change. But yeah, I mean, just a plug on all the calls, there's always something that I learn, and it's always really cool because it's different combination of people. Most of the time it's small groups, so it's easy to ask, like, the questions that you maybe wouldn't ask in, like, the larger group. So that makes it easy, comfortable, approachable. And yeah, I always learn something. So I'll definitely, towards the end of the call, once we wrap up the recording, I'll definitely make sure I bring up all the calls that happened in March. And there are a ton of calls that are happening in March. So I was like, get excited.
I love that. I was actually on a call earlier this month. I think it was just last week now on Friday with a group we have at Amazon called Blind Kind, which is just a group of, you wouldn't believe how many blind people work for Amazon in a corporate setting. And we had a call, kind of like a lunch and learn-ish call on Friday, to talk about tips and advice on using Slack appropriately in the workplace, both from a mobile perspective and desktop. So those types of calls are really interesting, whether you find them in a workplace or find them to the LHO and community or find them through your local service providers. Any of those groups are fine ways to get lots of this information. Before moving forward, I have to imagine, Jess, when we had introductions here at the beginning, was there anyone else here on this call tonight that was there for the employment call that we should look to see if they had any pointers from having been on the call recently? I can't hear you if you're
Not,
talking.
not, oh, not, not that I know of. But I could be totally wrong with everybody on the call. I don't know all the phone numbers and names.
That's okay. I would say if you were on that call and or a recent one and would like to do that, feel free to in the next minute. Just cut me off. I won't make things awkward and stand here in silence for a while. But if you want to speak up at some point in time, I will offer the floor to you at that point in time. But otherwise, Jess, I'm happy to move to the one topic we brought tonight, and that we're calling pretty broad, but related to arts and entertainment pretty broadly. So, I mean,
Hey,
we were, go ahead.
Andy,
Hey.
before we roll to the topic, do we want to, like, let's talk to Maria, kind of talk through conference for a hot second, and then we'll take it back.
Love that idea. Maria, over to you in San Diego.
Okay, well, let's make it a hot second over here. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Again, my name is Maria Johnson. I am the chair of the LHON conference. And yes, I live in San Diego. I am also affected. And I just want to, what I've been shouting through all the Zoom calls I've been hopping on since the end of last year, give you guys the information, if you haven't heard about it, on our upcoming 2024 LHON conference. This is an annual conference that we have been doing since 2013, except for COVID, but we don't count that. This year's conference is in Cleveland, Ohio. It's being held at the Hilton Cleveland downtown, right in the heart of Cleveland. It's a half a mile, less than a half a mile from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And the dates of the conference is June 27th, 28th, and 29th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The conference will start early afternoon on Thursday. Time to come. That's just confirming a few things on our agenda. So early afternoon, like right after lunch, kind of time on Thursday, and we'll go all the way through to full sessions on Friday and Saturday, ending late afternoon on Saturday. And most folks stick around and don't leave till Sunday, because they hang out all night long, some longer than others, with new and old LHON friends. The conference covers a wide variety of topics. Some of the ones that we do on a more regular basis, if you're not familiar, are living with LHON panels. And that's where I actually first met Jessica and Andy, is I pulled them in on the very first Living with LHON panel. I did two of them, I believe, in 2014. And that's how we all met. And those are panels where folks from, from different points of view come on and talk about their journey with LHON. It could be affected. It could be a spouse. It could be a sister, a brother, a mom, a dad. Really, really powerful sessions. We have a session on assisted technology. We have sessions on LHON science. We are hoping to have one of the top neuro-ophthalmologists at our conference this year, Dr. Karanja from Canada. I'm still confirming. Don't hold me to it. And last year we had a banging, employment panel, and we also had coffee and conversation, which was simply time to network with each other and drink lots of coffee. So Jeff, those are things, just to name a few of the types of things we do. There's plenty of networking and connecting time during breakfast and lunch. We have a banquet. We have a meet and greet on Thursday night. So it is a great time to not only sit in on educational based sessions, great stories, a little bit of mental health. There's something for everybody. So it's not just geared towards affected folks. It's geared towards everyone in the family and loved ones and friends and other supporters that may attend. The hotel information, there is a group rate. There is a room block to make reservations at. So for that link, the registration link, and the link to view past videos from previous conferences are all at LHON.org under the conference tab. You can find everything you need to know there. And if there's ever any questions at all, you'll see me posting, or a gal named Scarlett Dreyfus, who is also helping me post in the social media groups throughout. If there's any questions or comments or anything you want to know, we've been pretty active in answering anything if you comment under those posts that we make about conference. So feel free to do that as well. So we really hope to have a big showing. We had over 125 people there last year. We're hoping to add, a good 50 plus folks to that number and get closer to 200 this year, which would be amazing. So again, we hope everyone can look at their summer plans, mark that calendar, and see if they can make it there. It really is an experience and an event that is something you'll walk away with more knowledge, more connection, and lifelong friends from this community. So again, my name's Maria Johnson. If you have any questions at all, contact me via Facebook or on one of the social media posts. I'll try to get back to you.
Maria, the three things I want people to walk away with this. Maria Johnson, that's your name. LHON. Can you say the dates one more final time?
Yes, the dates is June 27th through the 29th. That's a Thursday through Saturday. The location's Cleveland, Ohio. It's being held at the Hilton Cleveland downtown. Again, there's a room block and there's a link to that, so you don't have to figure that out too much. That's Cleveland, Ohio. Be there, be square.
June 29th in Cleveland. Reach out to Maria Johnson or go to LHON.org for more information. That's awesome, Maria. Thanks so much.
And thanks, it is guys. Worth it. It is worth it.
Yes, yes. Many people on this call have been to this conference, and they keep coming back. They keep coming back.
I'll see you in Cleveland, Maria.
That's John Coughlin. Yes, John Coughlin. Yep. You went for your first time 3 years ago, and
that's right.
You keep coming back.
Keep coming back.
All right, this is Candace. I think there's a couple people that are trying to get on.
Okay, let me make sure we.
I just let them in.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Sorry, that's it.
Well, with that, if they've been let in, Jess, is there anything else before we kind of continue?
Nope, let's dive in.
All right, perfect. We want this topic to be, to evolve or steer in any direction that folks are interested in. But with Jess and I, we're talking about what we had coming up this month. I know I typically have a few shows that I try and see every quarter here in the New York City area. We were talking about arts and entertainment, whether that's in museums or live theater or concerts or even movie theaters, or being home theaters these days are as accessible as ever before. Wanted to kind of talk through things that we're excited about in the upcoming season, even the Oscar season, which is now upon us. So Jess, before I kind of dive in, what in that realm are the areas that you dive into most frequently, and how do you navigate them?
Yeah, I feel like this is definitely your jam, and this is where I learn from you each time, Andy, is that like this is definitely a world I want to get involved more and learn about. I actually recently went to a show in a theater and they had audio description. I don't know if I remember sharing this on this call or not, but it was such a cool experience. It was a theater in downtown Denver, and I mean, a completely live, obviously, a live person that did audio description. And honestly, I'm like, now this is recorded. This is a great story. She sounded like my mom. It was not my mom, but she sounded like her. And it was so funny because as she was describing, and I was wearing a headphone in one ear and then obviously no headphone in the other. And as she was kind of describing like facial expressions and all that, she was obviously sitting really close, but it was so funny because it's not like her description was monotone at all. She was like laughing when something was funny. And so it kind of added to like the experience because she just sounded like this honestly sweet lady, just like kind of cracking up when she was trying to describe like that person has a disgusted look on their face and was like, huh. And like, so she was very animated in that. And so it really added to it. And then at the end, because I actually went with my Achilles group, at the end, we actually got to meet her and it was just really cool. It was cool to be able to kind of connect all of that. Obviously this was a smaller theater than something large, but it was a really cool experience and I haven't been able to have that often. So kind of talking art, that was fine. But Annie, I know you have much more information to share to kind of get us educated. So please do.
What show was that? I'm curious.
Midsummer's Night's Dream.
That's right. A little Willie Shakespeare. Wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. I saw... I haven't seen as much with, as you call it, completely live audio description. A lot of what I do, and a lot of what you'll see if you end up in New York City, Broadway area, or even West End there in London, are these audio description done through an app where it is fully pre-recorded, but there are basically technology that indicates when the different stage directions and or audio descriptions should be said aloud through the headphones that you're using. And for some reason, I'm completely forgetting the name of the app that they use, but they also often give devices out that do the same thing. I will point out that the headphones that they use are some of the worst on the planet. So I often recommend folks bring their own headphones, but in either case, I recommend taking theirs and bringing your own so you can see what works best for you. However, when I saw Beetlejuice earlier, I guess it was December, in Charlotte, there was a live audio describer, much like what you're describing there, Jessica, where this was a touring Broadway show, and they had, among all the performances they would do in the Charlotte area in like a 2.5 week period, one of those has audio description. And I actually wasn't able to make it to that show, but I was going to the show the day before, and they were practicing their audio description for the next day. So when I went up to the box office and spoke to them, they said they were happy to give me a headset and then I would be the only person there and they'd be talking directly to me. And that was awesome. It's interesting to hear my home accent doing audio description back home, which is really exciting. And the cool thing about when you're having live audio description in that way, for a show like Beetlejuice that relies on a lot of improvisation, there is live audio description to describe what is the improv that happens on stage in real time. So love all of that. Certainly recommend folks who are interested in theater, at least if you're going to shows already, despite the fact that we often have to pay pretty pennies to have seats where we can enjoy the show at all visually. Some theaters also save seats or have discounted seats for folks who have disabilities or maybe low vision. Some theaters offer that. Others offer things that may be in addition or complement the show. So the Paper Mill Playhouse, which is a famous show that does lots of workshops before things go to Broadway in the New Jersey area. Megan Davidson may have heard of it, but they often do, prior to the show, kind of, I forget what they called it, but basically it's a show and tell like performance where the house staff will talk through some things that will happen on stage prior to the show, but they'll also pass around props and or costumes for folks who are low vision and or blind to feel those props prior to the show beginning. All of that, super, super cool that those things are offered. I mean, I could continue talking about how theme parks are made accessible and all these kinds of things. A lot of improvements have been done here in the past decade, really, since Jess and I met in 2014, where this is becoming more commonplace and these places are really trying to level up and do offer as much accessibility as possible. So I'll stop there. Jess, I'm happy to pivot toward any area of entertainment we're focused on, but I think that's a good start for us.
Quick question, just because, I mean, I'm definitely not a veteran in this space. And so like, if I wanted to go to a show and like, what recommendations do you have? You just call like the 1-800 number or like, where do you start to make sure you're getting that accommodation or better seats or whatever they offer? How do I know I can get that?
Yep. So you often, it depends where you are, but generally what you want to call is the actual theater. So where, let's say there's like a touring production of Wicked traveling the U.S. You don't want to call Wicked as much as you want to call your Denver Performing Arts Center, whatever that is called there. That may even be what it's called. They will be able to tell you if one of the performances in your local area is offering audio description. They will be able to tell you whether they offer discounted seats. They will be able to tell you about all of those types of accommodations. You really need to call either the box office and or the theater itself. That's where I'd recommend starting.
Okay, noted.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, because I feel like with all, I would say there's always a like a tip or trick that like, how do I get to whatever? And I feel like that's kind of the beauty, right, of like all these LH1 calls that like somebody's figured out how to get better seats or audio description or whatever it takes to like make it a little easier or better. I was just talking about accessor rides, so like paratransit within Colorado. And it was so funny because someone was like, oh my gosh, I've never heard of that. And I'm like, there's so many reasons to join LH1 support calls in your area or in your interest, but like these are some of them. So we can like, you can skip that line and get to those like tips and tricks for better experiences with LH1 too.
I love it. I mean, the same thing's true for movie theaters, especially if there are stage performances at a venue like a theme park or on a cruise ship, or even concert performances sometimes will allow discounted seats and or at the least give you access to seat purchasing seats that are otherwise not available to other customers.
For sure. Yeah.
On the art topic, Jess, and I know I live in New York City, but I will admit I haven't done as much in the museum scene. And I'm curious if you do a lot of that. I know there are places like Museum of Natural History here in the New York City area that offer special days with whether it be discounted ticket prices or even special access for folks who are low vision, who may be able to feel particular aspects of an exhibit. Now, this obviously isn't available for all exhibits across the Museum of Natural History, but there are museums that offer similar things as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure about, as actually I was just talking about this the other day with museums, and someone was telling me about a museum in St. Louis, and I was like, oh, that sounds tricky for me to navigate. Oh, it was a kids museum, but adults go through it all the time, obviously. And I was like, that sounds kind of tricky for someone like myself. And they're like, oh, like that's kind of part of the beauty and part of like part of the excitement is that everyone's pretty much on the same page, because it all, like the doors blend in. So you're touching and feeling and trying to explore all, like everyone's using their hands and trying to explore all that. So it's kind of like an even playing ground. I'm like, that sounds pretty fun and totally different, a different experience than typical. So I was like, that's pretty fun. So if you're in the St. Louis area, let me know.
It sounds like going in one of those like mirror mazes or mirror haunts.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I can't say seems the most accessible, but at least they are fully expecting people to walk into things and or have to touch everything.
Yeah, exactly. When we're all doing the same thing, that's when it's perfect.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, I think for those folks who are not going to movie theaters and or using audio description in their day-to-day like consumption of media, I just have to encourage you all to give it a shot. I am a pretty avid moviegoer, and it's going to vary by your region and by your city, the availability of audio description and or I shouldn't even call it the availability, the adequate education at an employee level at your local movie theater at being able to correctly identify and work their accessible technology that they have, because I assure you any major movie theater, whether it's Regal or AMC or Alamo Drafthouse, they will all offer audio description. But in some cases where they're very rarely using that technology, a lot of the employees don't know how to use it. I've had to work with lots of different movie theaters to basically educate their employees on how to do so. And in every city I go to, I basically have a movie theater that I'm very comfortable going to now. In Charlotte, it's an AMC. Here where I live, I love our lower Manhattan Alamo Drafthouse. For anyone who's ever in the New York City area, definitely encourage checking it out. Their audio description is flawless. And I say that without any hesitation, because that's not the case at most movie theaters. But really enjoy the experience. I go to the movie theaters with my wife, but also I go on my own. And I just find it to be a really enjoyable activity and really try and discourage my vision from preventing me from enjoying that experience as much as I can. I do tend to sit in the first couple rows, depending on the type of theater and how close those first rows are, but it's still a very enjoyable experience for me. I can talk about the types of movies that are best for audio description and those that are more difficult, but certainly an activity I still enjoy.
Yeah, no, thank you. This is Richard from Colorado, Denver. And I had recent experience. I went to Disney World with my granddaughter, and there's a Disney Access and a pass where you can, you have to go through and you have to be interviewed, and it's an easy, quick process once you're there. But you do get access, and a lot of places are accommodating. A lot of the concert venues here in town, there's the Red Rocks, which I think is everybody has seen that a few times or heard of it. I've gotten access there to some of their disabled seating sections. Also for sporting events as well, there's disabled seating events. And then if you are a veteran, there's something called VetTix, and that you can get seating at a very much discounted price. And so a lot of times there's a lot of venues, the Denver Center for Performing Arts, they have a lot of tickets that are given through that conduit, so to speak. And so a lot of individuals that I know, and we definitely, me and my family have taken advantage of some of those as well. But even we've been on different cruises before where we utilize the disabled accessibility rooms, and that offers a lot of benefits to do that. So I have had access, and it's very daunting in the beginning. But once again, if you talk to different people and different places like the forum that we have tonight, some of those barriers can get broken down by some others who have been there. So if anybody has any questions about navigating any kinds of trips or concert venues or sporting venues or anything like that, even amusement parks, they have made certain adaptations for visually impaired as well.
Richard, I love all of that. I almost want to sit here and pick your brain for the next 30 minutes, but I'm probably going to not do that. As someone who worked down at Disney in Orlando when I lost my vision 10 years ago and now is a huge cruise fan and obviously theater fan here in New York City area, I love that you were tapping into all of those areas of access the way you highlighted them. So thank you so much.
No, thank you very much.
And like, do we talk about the secret that the seats are actually really good? Like, do we talk about that? Because it's normally right above the 100 level. And like, I would say in most cases, and those are pretty sweet seats. So, you know, blind benefits, go for it for what you got. Am I allowed to say that on a recorded line?
But yeah, you can say whatever you want. I'd also highlight on the world isn't fair side of the coin. I often end up spending a lot of money to have very close seats for Broadway stuff too. And to have maybe not even as good of visibility to the stage as people who are 50 rows behind me. But at the end of the day, I really want to see those shows and I do what I can. And I encourage many of you to do the same if you're given the opportunity. Sorry, I'm trying to eat a brownie as I have this conversation and you can probably hear that.
A brownie? Did you make it?
I did not. Everyone on this call knows me well enough to know that I did not.
I know. Well, I just had to bring it up. I mean, like, you know, I feel like it's part of my duty for sure. But well, hey, while you eat that brownie, let's anybody else have any tips or tricks on maybe any events that they've gone to or concerts or you know, anything like that that kind of makes life a little bit easier, a little bit better. As somebody kind of exploring different concert venues or anything like that?
Even one of the things, this is Richard again, transportation, what to do when traveling alone. I know, Jessica, you've done this before and I've done it for work before, but there's a lot of tips and tricks you can utilize when flying airlines or even public transportation or Lyft or Uber. So yeah, definitely there's a lot of things to question and answers there as well.
For sure. Thanks, Richard. What else? All right.
Jess, I'll go ahead and chime in here. I mean,
yes, please.
Which of these, I mean, you and I both lost our vision 10, 12 years ago, somewhere in there. In that time, which we talk a lot, and this is where I like to be pretty transparent with folks, that like you and I constantly are still learning. I worked down at Disney at the time I lost my vision, but I don't know that Disney ever interviewed me about things that I would need, although I know that there were access to things that I would get. There are still things that someone like Richard could be teaching me about how Disney's accessibility works and or how cruise accessibility works, despite the fact that I got off a cruise ship a couple weeks ago. And definitely recommend it for anyone who's interested in a very accessible vacation where you can learn, get your bearings and learn a space pretty quickly and then feel very comfortable navigating on your own. In the 10 plus years you've been identifying as blind, which of these have you done and which are you still looking forward to doing in the future? I'm curious.
Oh yeah. Good question. Okay. I have definitely gone to a theater. With audio description, love that. Gone to the movie theaters, done that. I would say the best thing and the most important thing I've learned from movie theaters is exactly what you said, like sometimes this stuff works and sometimes it doesn't. So like I get there a little bit early, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes early and actually try to test it out before versus like sitting like 20 minutes into the movie, realizing none of it works and then you don't have audio description. So definitely test it out. Have a movie person come with you and just kind of make sure it all works. that's something I definitely have learned. Otherwise, I like kind of pretend to other people that it's working because my friends or family are like, is it working? Like, is it so cool? And then I just say yes because they're so pumped about it. So,
you and I are so different in that regard. I would definitely tell someone, I would feel somewhat bad when they run out with the device to make sure it works. But at the same time, like, it should work. I would tell people that if you go to most movie theaters, the devices that they are using, they will tell you that they will not work until the movie begins. And that is true. However, depending on the movie theater you were going to, I could give you individual thoughts on both most AMC theaters and our Alamo Drafthouse here in Lower Manhattan. There are often things basically at the end of previews, but toward the beginning of what I'll call the pre-roll. So basically when you're seeing like the popcorn shoot off in the bucket and or the Coca-Cola cup being filled, some of that is described for an AMC movie theater. In Alamo, there is something similar, and I can't even remember what the scene is, but that is slightly prior to the movie beginning. That is when you're looking for that to begin. For the devices they use at Alamo, it's actually one single headset, and if it's not working, you can change it from its typical setting to the other setting. For AMC, if they've given you the wrong device, you will actually know during the previews because it will just be doing the same preview audio much louder. That is an indication that they've given you the wrong device, and that is a reason to check it. You won't know if yours is working. You will know if they've given you the entirely wrong thing or if they programmed it incorrectly.
Okay, that's like a gold nugget of information. I've never known that, and I wish I knew that 10 years ago. So thanks for that.
Sure.
okay, that's awesome. This is like back to the nuggets of information. I also have used the available opportunity for concerts. I actually had some really sweet tickets. I was in the disabled seating for Bruno Mars, and it was so cool. And that was actually in Phoenix. And I would say the hardest thing I had to learn was the question I asked you of like, how do I navigate that? And I think really good advice to call the actual venue versus anything else. Like, don't call Ticketmaster. That doesn't help out, and be able to kind of talk through that.
Jessica, you called Bruno Mars? No, I'm just kidding.
It was just so good. But yeah, so that's, I think that's kind of a wrap in arts. There's a theater so close to my house, so I really want to start taking advantage of that and just see more theater shows. There's so many cool things that are coming through, especially now that we're out of COVID times and things are a lot more back to normal. There's a ton of cool stuff to not pass up. There is also Meow Wolf. That's 15 minutes from my house. I have yet to go to this and check it out, but this is definitely on my list too, to see how accessible that is. I heard it's great.
Meow Wolf has a very specific reputation. So I'm curious what your take is when you check it out.
Oh no, I don't know anything about Meow Wolf, so don't judge me on what I'm just saying that I'm going to go to.
No, that's entirely okay. I hope you enjoy it. And maybe Richard there in the area has been. I know there's one there in Denver. There's also one in Albuquerque or?
Albuquerque.
Somewhere near there. So anyway, I'm happy to hear other thoughts, or we can pivot as well.
Yeah, let's pivot. Let's open it up. I'd be so curious to hear anybody else's thoughts on entertainment or anything else like that for us to kind of talk through as like a wider. If not, we can definitely pivot to a different topic. I'm open for anything.
I appreciate all the thoughts because like I didn't even really think about audio descriptions in some of those venues. I mean, I use it on when I watch streaming stuff, but I never really thought about it because I've been this way for so long, and audio descriptions are not that old, so it's good food for thought and things that you could do to enhance the experience. Because I go and do these things, but I never really thought about audio descriptions being available in some of those settings. So this is might open up some better entertainment.
Sweet.
Love thanks, that, John.
Yeah, love it.
It's always worth asking. And that's where, let's not get our expectations too high, because you will hear lots of these places maybe don't have something.
I'm not getting my expectation highs, but I really wasn't even thinking about asking in some of those settings. And you know, maybe I would, you know, go to some of those things more often. Like you said, even by myself, if I knew that it would be a better experience, you know, rather than waiting for it to be available, you know, later on, you know. So that's you know.
I love it.
And I am going on a cruise to Alaska in August. So.
That's wonderful. Cool. What cruise line are you going with, John?
Holland America.
Wonderful. I have a few friends who used to work for Holland America.
I haven't looked into accessibility yet, but I will go with a friend. But wonderful. My ex-wife used to work for the booking cruises, but so I got some good advice from her in terms of what to opt for. So it'll be fun.
That's awesome. Very cool.
It'll be my third cruise. So.
Oh, awesome!
Someday I'll tell you about my first cruise experience.
It sounds like a story.
my mother took everyone in the family on a cruise. I guess it's like 16 years ago now.
Okay.
And I have seven children. So right off the bat, you know, that's part of it. And my brother's completely blind and had a seeing eye dog. And my father was in a wheelchair. So it was interesting.
It sounds like a memory.
My brother-in-law and I to this day say if we only understood what reality TV was, we would have brought a camera crew.
That's awesome.
That was great.
It was fun though. We had a good time.
That's awesome. Any other thoughts from folks? Whether it's we'll take tips, but also we'll take questions about things that people have coming up, spring and summer around the corner. If there are things that people have on the horizon that they'd like tips or tricks on how different folks navigate, let us know.
No, I think this is Richard again. And thank you and Jessica, because I was affected back in 91. And as technology goes by, and sometimes you get into, you know, like most people will, you know, with your daily environment, and technology is changing so fast now that I think it's beneficial to have, even if we think we might know what's out there, there's something that is somebody else's experience for the news. So I do want to thank you for, you know, there's always something to learn. So thank you very much.
Yep, exactly.
I appreciate that, Richard. I mean, I think it's a good reminder that even if you looked into something 10, 5, even just 1 year ago and found out that there weren't accessible means, it's worth checking again next time you do it.
This is Melina, Rich's wife. I just wanted to comment on something he said earlier about Disney, the accessibility at Disney. It's the acronym is DAS, and you do have to have an interview. And the interview is you have to have something other than a mobility handicap or impairment to be able to qualify for it that impedes your ability to stand in line for a long amount of time. So just be aware of that. So So with his heart condition, that was the qualifier there. But I just want to let everybody know that it's not just mobility.
Right. Thank you so much, Melina.
And Andy, you know from personal experience that waiting online is part of the deal at Disney, right?
It is part of the experience. Yes.
I know as a 30-year Floridian, because I've been there more times than I care to count. Not that it's bad. It's just, you know, everybody that comes to visit wants to go there.
Sure. It is. Yeah. It's a rite of passage as a Floridian, for sure. I had it in my backyard for years.
I was going to say, you're even closer than I am. So you definitely had it.
It's kind of like Casa Bonita for Denver.
Yeah,
right. Right. Just there for the experience.
Any other thoughts, questions, things that people have coming up? I know before too long, if you are waiting to ask a question once we have the recording turned off, we will be there in maybe 5-ish minutes even. So not too far away. So hold your questions.
All also throwing it out there, if anybody wants to pivot from this topic and go to another question, like what else is on everybody else's minds?
I think as we talk about just daily life and how well assistive technology plays a role in that, one of the things that I utilized is the app, I think I'm mispronouncing it, but it's OKO. It's to cross streets that have signal lights. And there's just so much to be said about how technology is moving. And, you know, we're blending these where years ago, assistive technology was just on a desktop and now it's in our pockets. So the LiDAR that's now on iPhones that can detect people, you know, furniture and AI that's out there as well. So it's moving very fast. So
is the OKO app there, Richard, one that you use leveraging your camera to tell what the light signal is telling you?
Correct. And it will, okay. You know, if you have voiceover on, it will, you know, announce, you know, cross of the course. Street or stop. And then, but if you don't, wow. if your phone uses the haptics and it also uses sound. And when it's green and to ready to cross, it will start beeping really quick. And then if of it's course. To stop, it's just a slower beep. And there's just right. so many things that are out there. So
I'm going to utilize that a lot.
Yeah. And if
it
anybody
basically
has
turns a not accessible crosswalk into an accessible crosswalk.
Right. Exactly.
What do you need?
That's wonderful. I appreciate that, Richard. Good point.
I love it. I'll have to check that out.
So Andy just and Jessica, this is Paul from Michigan.
I am on the call.
Hey, Paul, we hear you.
I can
hear you. This might
be
old information.
Oh, hey, Paul, one second. I'm just letting you know that we can hear somebody still chat. I think they're chatting with the person next to them. Just letting you know we can hear you. If not, I'll mute you so I can hear Paul.
No, why?
But it might be a 313 area code. Okay,
Jess, yeah, you can mute it if you happen to isolate it. But Paul, you can go ahead if you have your question.
Sure. Well, it's more of a statement. So this might be old news for everybody, but it's new
you want
to us.
That
a neuro ophthalmologist.
I don't know exactly what it was.
Oh.
I think you
Wait,
just
sorry,
muted
Paul.
Paul.
I was totally wrong. I muted the wrong person. You guys, I'm new at this.
That's okay. We won't trust you any longer.
Paul, hang tight. I'm bringing you back. Oh, no. I don't know if I can unmute you.
No, you can't unmute him. So Paul, if you were there and you're able to from your phone or it, because you're on your phone, you're going to want to press *7 to unmute, right, Jess?
Yes. And the person might be talking, might be my cousin. I was like, cousin, I can hear you.
** is in the bottom left corner, Paul, and *7 is just above that. If you happen to be able to unmute. And if not, we're happy to take your feedback later. Apologies for muting you.
I'm so sorry. I think I can also ask him to unmute. Let me see if I can do that.
You can ask to unmute. Well, not if he's on his phone. He's not going to get that.
Oh, dang, you're right.
So, apologies, Paul.
Sorry, Paul.
There you go. All right.
Oh, perfect.
Actually, it's *6, the phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's an update. Hey, this may be old news for everybody, but it's new for us. A neuro-ophthalmologist sent us a message late yesterday that there's an LHON data collective program that's active.
Yes.
Are you all aware of that? Okay.
Well, we are, but we've all actually right. had one of the, I mean, I assume this is the data collection process being managed by someone who's been a guest on this call at least once or twice, but that's a good call out. So Paul, if you want to share the information that we shared with you, you're welcome to.
Well, all I know is, you know, Brandon, as I pulled up, so it's a Melinda Marsh, whom you probably are yes. aware of, I would assume, CEO from LHON.org. The yep. website is LHON.rare, rare-x.org. And I haven't dug deep into it because it's just brand new, but
so
but it looks like it's just general collection ideas to help gather information and statistics to help the therapeutics along. So I just want to share that with everybody if no one
knows. So I'll tell you a little bit more in that it was co-founded by Chris
less than a minute, but the phone.
Hey, Megan.
The Megan. Records on the phone.
Right. I'm just trying to make sure.
I think maybe that's not Megan. Sorry, Megan. Didn't mean to call you. Go ahead, John.
I was just saying that it was co-founded by Chris and Melinda Marsh and Lissa. And it really is just actually forming a 501c to really carry on a lot of what's already been being done, you know, more informally through the organization that we've all been participating in for years. And a lot of the focus is to just to continue to do what we've been doing, but also
Ring does auto delete
research.
That's a good point, John. So, I mean, I think for those folks who are interested, I think one thing we struggle with always for LHON is because our communities is as small as it is, and we are thousands of people, but we aren't millions of people. And we, our disease is rare and there's little known about it. But in order for us to learn more about it, there has to be research. In order for research to be funded, they need to basically show what they know about it.
And I literally said, are you okay?
Okay. Whoever
and
just
they said,
yeah,
I might be sore tomorrow, but I'm totally fine. That's what I said in the email.
I'm just trying to just
letting
you
know. That's what I said.
I'm not.
You did.
I'm not.
Just letting you know, whoever's talking right now about being sore, we're really sorry, Grant, but we can hear you. Yes, it's you. We can hear you. Thank you.
But yeah, that's a good point. And so for those folks who are interested, if you are in that LHON Facebook group or go to the RareX page that was just mentioned, I forget who mentioned it, you can find more information and you can actually fill out a profile and a survey there to submit your own information. It is very protected. It's not ever shared at an individual level. This is all aggregate data. Yep. You actually qualify to submit information if you are a carrier or a affected individual with LHON. I know they're trying to get those numbers way up from where they are today. So encourage anyone who hasn't already submitted information there to at least consider it.
And there's information in the Facebook group, and there's also information, I believe, on LHON.org. And there's videos that Linda has put together that will even give people information if they have questions on how to do it, or you can reach out to her and she'll help you do it if you're having trouble with it. So it's pretty easy to do.
Right.
And then this information is passed along to the certain LHON research centers or what?
It's made available in a privacy compliant manner to researchers or pharma companies that are trying to understand better what they might, you know, do in trials and things. Yeah. So it's really trying to make it us more accessible to the research and pharma community that are trying to, you know, find innovative ways to deal with our issues.
Thanks so much, John.
Well, thanks for the backstory. Mm-hmm.
But and as well as now that they are a 501c, they are, you know, looking to raise money through getting grants and other means to fund research ourselves. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where it goes.
Of course. Jessica, as we head toward the top of the hour, I'd love to go ahead and have you maybe highlight the calls we have coming up the rest of March, if you have that in front of you. And if not, I have it here as well. But then we can open up the call.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yep, I'm totally ready. All right. Well, oh, wait. I said I was ready, but ooh, my dog is definitely ready. This is perfect. Okay, I said I was ready, but maybe I just lied.
Would you like me to take it over?
Yeah, yes, please. Thank you.
All right, happy to. So the calls we have coming up this month, I'm scrolling to the top. I believe the first call we had is our LHON Live call. Then we have Texas/Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, regional call that is March 11th at 6 p.m. All of these 6 p.m. Central, sorry. All of these calls are leveraging the exact same phone number and or Zoom link you have today. The next one is LHON affected women. That will be March 12th at 5 p.m. Pacific. The next call we have is a Southeast and D.C. area combo connect. That is March 14th, so Pi Day at 8 p.m. Eastern. The next call is LHON Plus. That's on March 16th, my wife's birthday, at 9 a.m. Pacific. I'm going to try and name as many reasons as I can for these dates to be important to me. The next one we have is Moms of LHON Affected Kids of All Ages. So any mom out there of an affected person, a child of in some way, that's Wednesday, March 20th at 5 p.m. Pacific. The next call we have is our New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania tri-state, although everyone likes to pretend they're in some kind of tri-state region. That's on March 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern. The next call we have is going to be April's LHON Live call, which I'm going to have for you, is April 3rd, so 4/3/24. Is our next LHON Live call. Again, always for LHON Live, it's always the first Wednesday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Same call and information as we've had for years now. So with that, I will go ahead and
please. Just 2 seconds. I was just going to like do a quick shout out for two of the calls just to highlight them. Not that all these calls were absolutely fantastic. And so please join. But this is the first time ever we'll be having an LHON Affected Women's call. So this is the first of its kind. So definitely please join that. That is on March 12th. And then we're actually doing something pretty fun this year. And I'm really excited. So like, I would say historically there has been regional calls all throughout the country, and it would be highly recommended you to jump into your region to get to know tips and tricks that happen in that area. But this time we're actually teaming up. So there's going to be regions joining forces to be able to, maybe it's a region that you'll be traveling to or somewhere surrounding. So this is actually going to be one of the first with the Southeast actually joining another region, which I'm going totally blank on. So
DC, they're DC?
DC. DC, thank you very much. Yep. So that's going to be a combo call. So check it out. And they'll definitely be coming to be a combo call to your region as well this year. So let us know what you think. We're really trying to gather some more community and really get making sure that everyone can meet more people. So let us know what you think, and excited to for the first one. So had to call those things out really quick. Thanks, Andy.
Of course, not a problem. With that, I will go ahead and stop the recording. And go ahead, John. Were you just trying to say something?
No, I just moved my iPad.
Okay, no worries. I will go ahead and turn off the recording in case there are questions that folks are waiting to ask after that. But thank you all so much for being here. And thanks for listening. If you're listening to this after the fact, you will miss this next part. But we missed you.